Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when there may be some great justice restored concerning a bizarre case going back to 2016 of a very attractive young mom in California who claimed that she was kidnapped and tortured and branded and held prisoner by two Latina women. And that was a very important part of her story, was the identity of who those women who did that to her were. She collected $30,000 at least in contributions that were set up to find her. She eventually reappeared. She was found after a couple of weeks. Now it turns out the whole thing is a hoax. And she is looking at some very serious charges. We'll be talking about that case with Wilfred Riley, the author of the very important book, Hate Crime Hoax. Was this a hate crime hoax? Could it be considered so? Because it had its racial aspects to it as well. We will get to that. But first up, a tremendous story and a tremendously important story about something that I think everybody cares about. Everybody cares about the impact of homeless encampments in particular and what they are doing to cities across the country. And you care about it not only because you feel sorry for the homeless people, but you feel sorry for the shopkeepers and the homeowners and the people who are trying to make a life in the face of literally thousands of people who are living in tents, often deeply troubled, often very problematic lives. And there has been an effort by the Cicero Institute in Austin, which relates to the fact that voters from both parties, a large bipartisan majority of Austin residents, voted to reinstate a camping ban in the city of Austin. And the Texas legislature has now just passed a statewide ban on camping with overwhelming majorities. This should help the homeless. How? Judge Earl Glock is the chief policy officer at the Cicero Institute. He was formerly a visiting professor of economics at West Virginia University, and he's one of a number of people who are working hard on a model legislation that has already been introduced and looks likely to pass in several states. Is that right, Mr. Glock?
That is correct, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, a pleasure. This is such an important subject. So what does this model legislation do in addition to basically reinstating bans on camping?
Well, it does do that, or at least it encourages the cities to enforce their existing bans on camping and sleeping in the streets, which, as you've noted, cities from across the political spectrum actually have voted on and agreed on. But the other thing it does is try to redirect some of the state funding away from the current model known as Housing First, which was began in the George W. Bush implemented and turned into a national mandate of sorts in the President Obama administration, which basically says the only way to end homelessness is provide every person out on the street with a free and permanent home with no sobriety or service mandates whatsoever. And we think that is not the correct way to end homelessness and help people get on their feet, but we've advocated the state using some of their own money to put into services, into drug and alcohol rehabilitation, into short-term shelter and sanctioned safe camping spaces. which has allowed a lot of these people to get off the streets into a safer situation, while the Housing First and Permanent Supportive Housing crowd, as it's known, only say we all need to wait decades until we can afford to buy every single homeless person a free and permanent house. And in the meantime, we all just should grit our teeth and bear the homeless encampments, which is neither humane nor viable.
Yeah, and again, the situation since we've had this whole Housing First approach, homelessness hasn't exactly gone down, has it?
No, no. In general, homelessness has gone up since almost exactly the year the Housing First approach was implemented in 2014. It's gone up by about 25%. But most importantly, the number of unsheltered homelessness, those outside of shelters, those living out in the streets and in camps, that has gone up the fastest, and that's what we're most concerned about. Not only because, as you mentioned, it's terrible for homeowners who live in these communities, usually working class or poorer homeowners, and businesses who are trying to get their lives together, but it's terrible for the homeless themselves. It's one of the things we often testify. The cities that have allowed these camps to get out of control have seen horrendous increases in homeless deaths. I often cite L.A., which for a while, Los Angeles actually had their homeless encampments under control under former LAPD Commissioner Willie Bratton, and they reduced homeless deaths significantly to about 500 a year, which is still shocking, but much reduced. Since they stopped enforcing those rules against public camping, they have 1,400 homeless people die in the streets of L.A. every single year. They are picking up four bodies of homeless people off the street every single day, and they say it's yet they say it's inhumane to try to end these encampments and push people into shelters and services, which obviously I and most Americans disagree with.
So 1,400 people in L.A. alone dying in homeless encampments every year. So what do they die from?
Well, it's a mixture of things. Not surprisingly, a lot of them are dying actually of consequences of drug and alcohol abuse. Now, some of the immediate consequences may be things like heart attacks, or even surprisingly in semi-warm areas, you sometimes see frostbite among people on the streets who just can't put on their shoes and socks even in a cold night in the middle of winter and get cold and freeze and have consequences. But, you know, we know from these studies that survey the homeless themselves, and I've been out on the surveys to also ask them these questions, that the vast, vast majority of people on the street have either a severe mental health issue or a severe alcohol or drug addiction problem. And almost every one of them have both. Almost every one of them has either one or the other. The majority have both. And if you're leaving a mentally ill, drug addicted person on the street for what may be years, it's not surprising that sooner or later they're probably going to suffer an overdose or some other tragic end.
Now, Austin is a sort of notorious as a great big liberal enclave in the middle of Texas, which is not liberal. How is it that you won such a majority in the city of Austin?
Well, there was a lot of people working on this here who were very concerned about the camps. They saw what happened in Austin is exactly what happened in other places. And the year after they allowed street camping, the number of homeless deaths went up by a third. The amount of violence against the homeless went up by double digits. There was just horrendous consequence across the whole city. As you mentioned, 58% of voters immediately, within a year, voted to restore this camping ban. But you said this is not the exception. This is the rule. Even in very liberal cities, San Francisco itself, voters. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And since the camping ban was reinstated, have the numbers in these encampments gone down?
No one here who's lived here doubts that they have gone down substantially in the past year and a half. They used to be all over the downtown. In fact, a rather large encampment, somewhat ironically for someone who works on this issue for years, right behind my house in a public park, which I knew all of the inhabitants of. Jay, Adam, Kaylee, Linda, and Michael and Emmanuel, I knew all very well. It was a terrible situation for all of them, but they all had severe drug and alcohol problems.
If you can stay with us, this needs to be continued, and it is being extended to states across the country, maybe even to Washington State. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Just to reinstate and enforce existing bans on illegal encampments. We'll be right back on the Michael Medved Show with Judge Glock.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
On the Michael Medved Show, I am joined by Judge Earl Glock, and the judge is a first name. It's not a title, right?
That is correct. An old family name.
Okay, fair enough. Don't want any confusion there. Because right now, according to the Seattle Times, there are 9 bills that have been introduced in 6 states in the past 2 years with matching or similar language to the Cicero Institute, that's who you work for, model bill, the Reducing Street Homelessness Act. In addition to Georgia, lawmakers in Arizona, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, and Wisconsin have introduced bills that are similar to or have portions identical to the Institute's model legislation. Doesn't this need to go along with that idea? Basically, people ask, okay, so if they're not going to be camping somewhere, where are they going to go? In most of the big cities in the states that are considering this legislation, I know this is true in Texas, there are unused shelter rooms, aren't there, that people won't go to because they don't want to?
That is correct. There are many unused shelter rooms across the nation because most of the homeless people on the street are what they call service resistant, meaning that even when offered services, job training, treatment, shelter, they refuse to take it up. And unfortunately, allowing these out in the street in the public allows a lot more people in the midst of a mental health crisis who are undergoing addiction to escape from those safe and sheltered environments and end up in dangerous street encampments. And what we want to do is encourage more people back into those shelters and those safe service environments.
Let me share it just came across. This is a brand new story. The Portland mayor in Portland, Oregon, pledged to keep homeless campers off busy roadways to bring down fatalities. They had some awful cases where cars just went off the road, not intentionally, and during accidents, and killed people because they're sleeping right there in their tents. Here's how it's all working out. While some roadways may be cleaner in the wake of the mayor's emergency order, it's far from clear that the people displaced are much safer. Press visited 10 sites in the last month since the mayor's February 4th order, and despite Wheeler's vow that people moved could not return to their old campsites, many seem to have done exactly that. Others have moved to different but equally dangerous roadways. Why is it that the Housing First crowd do not see or pay attention to some of the interviews? Here in Seattle, they've done interviews with homeless people who simply refuse to go to housing that's been arranged for them, even some of those tiny houses that are supposed to be so ideal. What do you think is the main source of the blindness to the problem that I think your legislation sees so clearly?
Well, a lot of the advocates claim that homelessness is merely a housing issue, that once you get someone into a house, you've basically solved all their problems. And they refuse to acknowledge that the large number of the people out on the streets, those people who what they call chronically homeless, who've been out on the streets especially more than a year, their problems are overwhelmingly tied up with mental health and drug abuse issues. And the advocacy community just refuses to acknowledge that. And so they also refuse to acknowledge the abundant evidence that merely giving somebody a house, in fact, does not solve any of these issues. In fact, it can exacerbate it. What we've seen in some of these studies, such as the Journal of Dual Diagnosis, which shows people who have been put in these Housing First free housing units for homeless actually tend to have more drug abuse than the people who are outside of them. They have more money and then more time, basically, to indulge their addiction. And the government refuses to push any sobriety mandates on them. So it's a perfect place to slowly kill oneself with drugs, which is a terrible situation for anybody. And what we've seen in the good programs, those that tie housing into sobriety or work requirements, we've seen a lot better outcomes.
Wow. In terms of basically here in Seattle, you probably have read about this, Judge, that we've had in a public school, in a K-8 school, they Broadmoor Thompson Elementary, they had a homeless encampment right on school property. and with needles and all kinds of unspeakable acts being performed on school grounds to for the entertainment on the rats infesting it. The inability to get hold of this, particularly by certain big cities, San Francisco, L.A., I can understand some people like to go to L.A. for the weather. They probably are not coming to Seattle for the weather. And in terms of Austin, is Dallas any better? Houston any better? Do they have the same problems there?
Yes, frankly, these cities are a lot better. I often compare Austin and Houston, two cities only about 3 hours apart. Yet Austin has seen a 50% increase in homelessness over the last decade, especially among the homeless on the street. Houston has seen a 50% decrease in homelessness over the exact same period. What's the difference? It's very simple. Houston, also a very Democratic city, also a city with a large liberal majority, but they have a mayor, Mayor Sylvester Turner, who says we're not going to let people camp out on the streets. That's not a humane solution for anybody. And they succeeded in reducing that. It also reduces the homeless deaths, which helps people into the services and elsewhere. That's the most important thing. And as you mentioned, with the school situation, people refuse to acknowledge the incredible impact these encampments have for people surrounding them. In L.A., only about 1% of the population is homeless out on the streets. But that 1% causes 15% of all the violent crimes in the city, an incredible, absolutely jaw-dropping ratio. And importantly, a lot of those violent crimes are against the homeless themselves. They're both the perpetrators and the victims here. And so leaving them out on those streets is just exacerbating everybody's problem. And the Housing First groups, the advocacy groups say, well, again, just give us a couple decades. We're going to fix this problem once we give everyone a home. But I don't think anyone says, oh, we just have to pull a few thousand more dead homeless people off the street for a few more years, and then that's going to be okay. This stuff needs to be acted on right now, and hopefully more cities are going to take action.
Well, again, and it's different action. I remember when Barack Obama was first elected president, one of his hopeful promises during his first year as president, 2009, was to pledge that within 10 years, homelessness would be ended as a social problem in the United States. That hasn't happened. But there is change happening. Cicero Institute, which has put together this whole campaign, is part of that effort. We will post their material and information about what is going on at our website, michaelmedved.com. Okay, what about a hate crime hoax from somebody who is not a, quote, oppressed victim group member? We will get to that and more with Wilfred Riley coming up.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Brooklyn subway shooting suspect Frank James has been arrested by police in New York City's East Village. Zach DeHaan called in the tip to Crime Stoppers.
Look how many people have in New York, nobody gets him. Yeah. Like, I was working inside the store and I get him. That's good, something from the God.
Yeah.
That's good, something from the God, and we get him. Always we engage these people in America. We don't want any problem here in America because here life is good.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, the FBI, and NYPD saying the shooting suspect will face terrorism charges. President Biden is authorizing another $800 million worth of security assistance for Ukraine. That includes artillery systems, helicopters, ammunition, and armored vehicles. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby saying the ongoing U.S. assistance is urgently needed. USA Radio News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Ed Show. Wilfred Riley, I'm proud to say, has been a frequent guest on this show. He's an associate professor of political science at Kentucky State University and the author of the books Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, and Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. Now, there was a terrifying incident in that fake race war, Wilfred, and it happened 5 years ago in 2016. A very pretty, popular, charismatic, happily married California mom was out jogging when she was kidnapped by apparently two Hispanic females, she said, who had gang affiliations, and they starved her, they tortured her, they branded her, and then finally she was returned after costing a great deal of money for law enforcement for looking for her. What was the reason that we're paying attention to this story now, since she got home safe and sound?
Well, this, if I'm recalling correctly, this was another case that turned out to be a hoax, or at least not to be what it initially appeared to be, correct?
No, it turned out to be a complete fraud. It's all over the Washington Post today. She had faked her own kidnapping, and she had branded herself. And she had cut off her hair, and she was staying with a boyfriend. And so she just came back. She is looking at some serious consequences. She mm-hmm. has to make compensation for $300,000 that in restitution to local, state, and federal agencies, according to the plea agreement. Why do people do this sort of thing?
Oh yeah, that's a fascinating question, and it's one I try to answer in Hate Crime Hoax, a book we opened by discussing. So first, this isn't original or unique.
The book, I will say, frankly, focuses on cases like this, Jussie Smollett, Yasmin Saweed, Covington Catholic, from what you might call the political left. But 20 or 30% of these cases involved sort of normal taxpayers on the political right. There was an incident where one of the lead McCain volunteers back in, I suppose it would be 2007, 2008, branded herself on the face with a letter B and claimed that, you know, sort of Obama staffers, these upper middle class black kids, had attacked her and had branded her, had abused her badly. So this kind of thing is not new. I mean, it's pretty well known by this point that I put together a data set of what's now almost 1,000 individual cases like this. In terms of your great question, which is why, there are a lot of reasons. One, if you're talking about insurance money or something like that, is just the kind of shallow motivation that underlies kind of any crime, what the old Cagney detective show is called filthy lucre. But a more serious desire very often is to promote sort of a narrative to indicate there's more racial violence than there actually is. Or in this case, probably to throw up a smoke screen, right? Like if you're running away from maybe your husband, who's a traditional sort of boring guy, a wild story is created while you're living with a friend or a lover. But this false idea that there's so much racial conflict, this happens all the time, that's what really underlies these stories. I mean, at some level, people have to assume that this crazy stuff is plausible.
Right, and that, again, the allegedly, not, and now not, we know non-existent, Latina women who allegedly kidnapped her, they never asked for ransom. They didn't, and you know what it's like? There's a famous case from the 1920s. I couldn't help thinking about it because I've written about it before. It's Amy Semple McPherson, who disappeared. She was at the Santa Monica Beach. She was out swimming in Ocean Park, California, and she disappeared. And she claimed that she had been kidnapped. It turned out she was seeing a gentleman and spending some quality time with him before she came back, and it didn't appear to even dent her popularity that much. What troubles me about this is that this is if Jussie Smollett did the same thing and made a plea deal, some kind of plea bargain, and admitted the whole thing was fraudulent, do you think he could get some kind of reduced penalty?
Well, sure. No, I actually don't think Jussie Smollett's going to do that for two reasons. One is that in a Chicago court where you have actual murders and rapes and so on to deal with, any sentence he gets is not going to be that serious. I mean, right now he's been sentenced to 150 days and the local county lockbox, and that's on appeal. So there's really no reason for him to take a plea bargain that it would involve, say, back pay of $1 million. He's not going to be that brutalized as it is. But second, also, I think Smollett knows his audience and he knows the current moment, what some people are calling the racial reckoning. So he understands that right now it's incredibly difficult to call out a black person for even the most asinine lunatic behavior. And he knows that there are a lot of people that are going to believe him no matter what he says. So he's not going to jeopardize it. We all know Jussie Smollett did it. I mean, his name, his DNA are on checks that were written to the two people that confessed on video that they did it. But Smollett right now, he's just going all out. He's going hard to the wall. He just released a song talking about how he's innocent. It's currently number 67, I think, on iTunes. So Smollett, because of this isn't a joke, Michael. I mean, because of how he's decided to fight this, I mean, one of my goals is to be kind of nemesis for this guy. Like, the book comes out in another edition. Like, he's got to admit it, what he did to race relations. But, I mean, he hasn't yet. And I don't think he will, because the whole idea is I am a victim. And you might say, well, he's not. But let's be real. Jacob Blake wasn't a victim either. George Floyd was, but the circumstances were different from what was reported in mainstream media. Smollett, Kyle Rittenhouse wasn't an unprovoked murderer. I mean, so Jussie Smollett knows what the moment is, and he's seizing it.
Wow. And this is, again, the business with this woman, Papini. What surprises me is that there's no more outspoken criticism against her for having deliberately picked out Latina culprits, because that would seem to be arguably sort of a racist nod, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that. The one exception might be, as I recall the story, as I pull that back to mind, these were Caucasian Hispanics with gang ties. I mean, she wasn't claiming that they were domestic servants striving for a better life or something, and she didn't identify them as mestiza. I mean, I agree with you, it's still a little ridiculous, but that might play a role here. But there also seems to be a weird level of forgiveness in most of these cases, and this is a point I want to make. This isn't just crazy people at kind of that first wife level of mental instability that are, you know, playing an awful but funny joke. The problem is that there are actual people that could very easily get caught up in this. So had Jussie Smollett not been exposed, I mean, his entire claim was that two big Caucasian guys attacked him. In this sort of neighborhood in Chicago, it has a lot of, for example, Irish Americans, it has a lot of big Caucasian guys in it. If two people had been caught and had been dragged in for Jussie Smollett's, crazy fake assault, they almost certainly would have done some time in Cook County for a racial hate crime, and that wouldn't have been pleasant for them.
No, and maybe the idea that they were not the white MAGA racist types, that they were two Nigerian brothers, that kind of gave people a few questions, right? Great talking to Wilfred Riley, always. Check out his books, Taboo and Hate Crimes Hoax. You said there's a new edition coming out?
Well, there will be pretty soon. My focus there was just like, I'm capable of dedicating the next edition to Jussie Smollett. I mean, we got to keep the focus on these. You know what the reality is? These crazy racial narratives that divide the country, there's no good to be gained from that.
Okay, you know what's amazing? We live in a very strange country in many ways. Everybody loves seeing Tiger King. Now there is a narrative movie with actors reenacting the story of Tiger King, Joe Exotic. Can't wait, right? Wilfred Riley, not ever a fake or a hoax. We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
Several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain.
The Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College promotes the principles of faith and freedom and equips the next generation of American leaders. Through bold opinion pieces, academic conferences on important topics, and examination of key figures and events in American history, the Institute and Grove City College stand apart from the indoctrination that's dominated much of higher education. The Institute for Faith and Freedom offers a brand new online course with scholar and historian Dr. Jay Cost on the mind of Madison in the midst of dysfunctional politics. The life and insights of James Madison can remind us of long-lost truths. What's politics supposed to accomplish? How should the people influence their political leaders? Go to faithandfreedom.com to learn more about their work and to take this new online course on the mind of Madison. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where could I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
Michael Medved Show. Don't forget, you can enjoy background on basically everything about American history and to some extent about world history, particularly if you're interested in the history of the Middle East. Right now, during Holy Week and with Passover coming up, a lot of people are thinking about the Holy Land. We have our most popular history programs of all are is a two-part history specials on the origins of the State of Israel and the five major Arab-Israeli wars. That and much more available free for your streaming and for your edification and entertainment by going to michaelmedved.com, becoming a Medhead Plus member. It costs all of 22 cents a day and unlimited access to all of that history programming and to this show in commercial-free streaming availability, podcast availability at no charge anytime you want. Check it out. Join us. It costs a little. You'll learn a lot. 22 cents a day is all. Meanwhile, there is this in the Seattle Times, and I actually thought it was amusing. It says, what's it take to be a true Seattleite or a true Northwesterner? And what does it take to be considered a local to Seattle and the Pacific Northwest? The answer, according to Newt Berger of Crosscut, he's the editor-at-large of Crosscut. He's host of the TV series Mossbacks Northwest on Channel 9. And he says that based upon a new study that they've done, I think the idea behind it is that if you can withstand a couple of northwest winters and the rain and the dark, you would earn your stripes. My feeling now is some people come here and right away they feel they're at home, and other people can live here 20, 30 years and never feel that way. It has to do with whether or not you are predisposed to like all the rain and the gloom and how you adopt. Now, this, has something to say, but what it really talks about here is a survey that actually takes a look. It's a PEMCO insurance poll of more than 800 Seattle residents, and it finds out that residents of Seattle and Portland, residents found that the respondents largely agree on which characteristics are quintessentially Northwestern. Topping the list of Northwest attributes, what do you think? Wearing casual, outdoorsy clothing, with 78% of Seattleites saying that if given the choice, they'd pick a puffy vest and jeans over a suit any day. And in Portland, 81% say their wardrobes lean toward casual outdoor clothing. Now, if they said sloppy clothing, or basically wearing that homeless couture that I so much favor, Berger said that while the Pacific Northwest has changed in some ways, not dressing to impress remains pretty universal, with people always attired as if they're ready to head to a mountain emergency. Well, I wouldn't say it would be mountain emergency, but it's an interesting thought. They also found in this survey, apparently, that the so-called Seattle chill, the idea that people are not super welcoming. You don't hear people talk about that Seattle hospitality, where it is all friendly and easy and instantly warm. There's a different problem that other states have. Right now they have a huge problem going on in South Dakota, because the Attorney General of South Dakota, he's a Republican, of course. South Dakota is one of the most Republican of all states, and a state with a very popular governor who has actually taken a role in this particular case. The Attorney General of South Dakota has been impeached. He is going to go on trial in the Senate. And it's a very sad and horrible case, and it's ironic because Governor Kristi Noem also has a lot of driving problems in the past, almost all of them speeding tickets, then also driving with a suspended license. And when I say all of them, it's more than 20. It's a lot. But leave aside Kristi Noem, who I think has been a very popular, very effective governor, and is not a completely ridiculous presidential candidate. She might have a lot going against her, but the fact being that there are much better known candidates in the field, including a certain former president who is a big fan of Governor Noem. She won't run for president if President Trump does. But there's this attorney general was driving late at night in sort of a back road highway, and he thought he hit a deer, and he decided to go back the next day to see what the roadkill was, and the roadkill was a person, and it was somebody who had been walking along the roadway. It's very problematic because he may have gone home and not stopped to try to rescue or to help the person he had hit, because he may have been drinking beforehand. And he's now facing very serious legal consequences. He's refused to resign, despite the fact that many of the people in South Dakota, his fellow Republicans, have asked him to resign. And now he has been impeached. Governor Noem very strongly supports his impeachment. So there's the South Dakota Attorney General. Yesterday, the Lieutenant Governor in New York was arrested, and he has since resigned, and arrested in a very cheesy bit of fraud. But then again, if you want to take your mind off it into something much happier and more positive than political scandals or the war in Ukraine or the runaway inflation, there's a movie that just, it's impossible not to feel better after you watch it. It's about one of the really most exciting musicians of the moment. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The Venezuelan conductor Gustavo Dudamel is one of the most celebrated musicians on earth. And an inspirational film depicts his transcendent belief in the healing, unifying power of music. It's called Viva Maestro, now playing in select theaters.
Music has the power to unite people in the middle of this storm.
And the storm he's referring to is the political conflict in his homeland, where Maestro Dudamel took a stand in defense of the student orchestra that had trained him years before, but faced suppression by the authoritarian Maduro regime. For the most part, the film is light on politics, but rich in idealism, love of artistry, and fascinating scenes that show exactly how this master conductor does his complex and utterly compelling work. It's not rated, but kids of any age, particularly those with a musical bent, will find it fascinating. 3.5 stars for the sumptuous and satisfying documentary Viva Maestro. And even if you don't know anything about classical music, I think people will find this fascinating, because one of the questions is, what does a conductor do? You know, he waves his arms, or she waves her arms, and you sort of beat time for people. But this has rehearsal footage of Gustavo Dudamel, who's a music director for the LA Philharmonic, working with his orchestra, working with student orchestras, and really getting to the soul of the music and what it's trying to communicate. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And there's another film about an orchestral conductor that came out earlier about Marin Alsop. This one is much better. And then Dudamel is probably a better conductor, too, though I know I'm not supposed to say that because Marin Alsop's a woman. Okay, replacing derogatory names in Washington now is a front in our larger culture war. What kind of derogatory names? Squaw Creek? Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the preschool teacher who says she has four-year-olds pick out their own pronoun pin. Different pin every day for a different pronoun. And a congressman in California is leading the fight for a four-day work week. Will that solve our economic problems or make them so much worse for this greatest nation on God's green earth?
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.